Sermon text this morning is from Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 through 34. Genesis 26, 1 to 34. Now hear the word of the Lord. There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I give all these lands. And I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And then men of the place asked about his wife, and he said, "She is my sister." For he was afraid to say, "She is my wife," because he thought, "Lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah, because she is beautiful to behold." Now it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked through a window and saw, and there was Isaac showing endearment to Rebekah, his wife. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Quite obviously she is your wife, so how could you say she is my sister?" Isaac said to him, "Because I said, lest I die on account of her." And Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people might soon have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us." So Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they filled them in with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away for us, for you are much mightier than we." Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had given them. Also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Then he went up from there to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him that same night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake." So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Ahuzzat, one of his friends, and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to him, "Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?" But they said, "We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. So we said, 'Let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you, since we have done nothing to you but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord.'" So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. Then they rose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. It came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." So he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. When Esau was 40 years old, he took as wives Judith, the daughter of Beer the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. and they were a grief of mine to Isaac and Rebekah. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Teach us to number our days, that we gain hearts of wisdom. Have compassion on us, your servants. Satisfy us with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Make us glad for the days that you have afflicted us. And let your work appear to us, your servants, and your glory to our children. Let your beauty be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Yes, O Lord, establish the work of our hands. Speak to us now, O Lord, in your word by your Spirit. Open our ears, give us understanding. Open our minds, open our hearts, open our souls, and fill us with great joy to respond to your grace. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, your words this morning to count are well, or wells, and history. Count well and history. I'll give you a count at the end of the service. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have read the first 25 chapters of Genesis, and now chapter 26 this morning, themes and stories have repeated. The Holy Spirit has revealed in these 26 chapters what he desires us to learn as Christians and as the people of God. And we, as his people, are to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. But we ought to take note that when he repeats himself, when something happens again and again, we ought to take notice. As we hear in Genesis 26, we hear another story we've heard before. Haven't I heard this? Hasn't this been covered already? Why would God repeat himself? Why would he reveal the same thing? Well, God is the Lord of history. The Spirit wrote history in Holy Scripture. The Spirit repeats history before us. The Spirit is sovereign over every detail and every event. God brings all things to pass. And these repeated events connect to each other for a reason. We, as the people of God, we are to hear these events in Holy Scripture. We are to read of them, study them, and learn about God. Learn about what he does and what he has done in history. And learn how have his people responded. What have the faithful done? What have they not done? And in this, we learn wisdom as God's people. The Spirit governs all things. The Spirit moves history in a direction. History is not just cyclical. The same events happening over and over, constant repetition. That's not what history is. History is not simply going around and around the same things over and over until Jesus comes back. No, instead, the Spirit moves history in a direction, more as a spiral. Spirit moves history as a corkscrew. With a trajectory. Repetition, yes, but moving in a direction. We've heard this story before, Genesis 26, and we're going somewhere with it. Now we've heard in Genesis 26, Genesis 20, Genesis 12, of a famine. A famine here this morning drove Isaac and Rebekah out of the land. We've heard that before, Genesis 12. A famine drove Abram and Sarai from the land to Egypt. But here the Lord, in a different detail, told Isaac not to go to Egypt. Instead, he was to remain in Gerar. In Gerar, Isaac introduced himself and Rebekah as brother and sister. We've heard that before. Abram and Sarai did that in Genesis 12. And then Abraham and Sarah, their names changed, did that in Genesis 20. Same thing. These are types. These are themes for us to learn. What we are to learn is the covenant seed, the head of the covenant, and his bride go into the land of the wicked. And the covenant seed, the husband, seeks to protect his bride and his household against a tyrant. The tyrant in this relationship learns more about God's people. He learns that they are married and not just brother and sister. And as a result of this revelation, he in turn treats them better. That's what Pharaoh did in Genesis 12. That's what Abimelech did in Genesis 20. He treats them better. And through this, God preserves and blesses his people through the conflict. And we, later in history, learn wisdom from this revelation. Three times God has revealed this. We learn wisdom from him. So in Genesis 26, Isaac had an experience just like his father Abraham had twice. And again, the practice of the day was in marriage, a husband would adopt the bride as a sister. And this was for protective reasons. And then he could say, as Scripture has said elsewhere, my sister, my bride. Introducing yourselves as brother-sister was a wise approach against the wicked, against tyrants. And that's what Isaac and Rebecca did. And they kept it up for a while, after a long time. Abimelech, whose name means my father is king, he sees them caressing. He sees them sporting. He sees them literally Isaacing. They're laughing together. And they're laughing in such a way that Abimelech is able to conclude, they're not brother and just brother and sister, they're married. He learns the truth. Now this is likely another Abimelech, because Abimelech was more of a title than a personal name. This is likely another Abimelech who did not know Abraham, yet he feared the same wicked response that the previous Abimelech feared about his people, what they might do to Rebecca. And he becomes an accuser against Isaac. In verse 10, Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us, Isaac? One of the people might soon have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us. One of these Philistines might have raped your sister, and this would be your fault." That's the accusation. He became an accuser. Three times in the book of Genesis, we have seen God's people in this situation, use deception against wicked tyrants. And in these situations, God preserves his people. He preserves them through this trial, through this persecution. And we are to learn from this. How does God do things? What does this reveal about God? It's the third time we've heard of this come up. What does this reveal about our Lord, God Almighty, in these situations, God's people need to be faithful. And if they are faithful, he will preserve us through the testing. He will preserve us through the persecution. And brothers and sisters, Christians in the year 2020, if we are headed in that direction, a direction of persecution, this is an important teaching. Be faithful and be wise. Be gentle as doves and be wise as serpents. Isaac, the covenant seed, he followed his father Abraham. He obeyed the Lord. He stayed in the land of Gerar. And in his staying in the land, we see progress through history here for Isaac. Different situation than Abraham. Isaac enjoys greater dominion in Gerar. He plants, and the Lord blesses him with much growth. He enjoys the fruit of dominion. Isaac becomes prosperous in the sight of the Philistines around him. Yet the response of the Philistines to Isaac is different than it was to Abraham. The first Abimelech treated Abraham well. He gave him gifts. He gave him the choice pick of the land, the best place Abraham could live. But with Isaac, another Abimelech who did not know Abraham was concerned about Isaac's growth and wealth. Have you heard this before? In the history of redemption, another leader arises who does not know the covenant seed and is worried about the growth of God's people. We'll get to it eventually at the end of Genesis and the beginning of Exodus. Isaac had a large house, so Abimelech sent him away. The people, the Philistines, envied his prosperity. They envied the quantity of his possessions. So they chased him out. There was conflict between Isaac and the Philistines. The Philistines began filling up his wells that Abraham had dug. They destroyed the work of his father. The progress that Abraham had made in the previous generation. The wicked destroyed the progress of the previous generation. He who has ears, let him hear. Abraham dug wells to last. He dug wells to be used, dug wells to be enjoyed in the future. Abraham was future-minded. And the wicked were tearing down what had been built before them. So what did Isaac do? Christians, what did Isaac do as this conflict came upon him? He redug the wells. And what did the wicked do? They stole some more wells. So Isaac moved on. He dug a couple more wells. The Philistines envied. The Philistines stole. They quarreled with Isaac. They persecuted God's covenant line. Where did all this enmity start? Boys and girls, the wicked attacking God's people. Where did this enmity start? It started in the garden. It started with the curse. The Lord cursed the serpent that there would be enmity between the serpent, the seed of the serpent, and the seed of the woman. The nation of the Philistines were cousins of the Egyptians. They were related. So keep that in mind for history. Why is God revealing this tension? What's he revealing to us in history? What is the benefit of Christians in 2020 reading this in the new covenant? We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. God speaks, God reveals, God acts. And these events repeat. And he reveals them for us. He told Isaac, don't go all the way to Egypt. Abraham did in Genesis 12. Isaac, don't go to Egypt. And he blessed him with prosperity. Isaac obeyed God. And it went well with him. Boys and girls, will it go well with you if you obey your parents? Yes. When persecution began for Isaac, we hear verse 24. The Lord appeared to Isaac the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. Have you heard that before? Are those words familiar? Has God said them elsewhere? Isaac, follow your father in faithfulness. If you remember in Genesis 14, after the battle with Chedorlaomer, Abram had good reason to fear that kings could come back and fight him and his 318 mighty men. But the Lord repeated his covenant promises to fearful Abraham. Do not fear. I am the Lord. I will keep you. When Abraham was in the land with the Canaanites, he submitted to the established order. He lived peaceably among them. What can we learn from that? Romans 12, 14 to 18. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So Isaac followed Father Abraham. He used wisdom with Abimelech. He tried to live peaceably when they destroyed and they stole his wells. And when his faith is tested here in Gerar, the Lord graciously appears to Isaac and repeats his promises. This is good for you, Isaac. It is good for you to know what your father Abraham experienced. It is good for you, Israel, to know your history, that this kind of thing happens to God's people. And brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is good for us to know this. Know that this is how God brings history forward. These are the kinds of things that happens in this world that God made and he sustains. And this is how the faithful respond. When you live among the wicked, be faithful and use wisdom. When you live among an authority structure or a system, try to live peaceably with all. And brothers and sisters, when your faith is tested, or when you are persecuted, cling to God's promises. That's why the Lord repeats these promises to Isaac here. Why do we worship every 7 days? Why do we celebrate the Lord's Supper every week? If you're hungry, you can eat at home. Why do we have the supper every week? Why do we hear the same covenant promises every week? It's because we need them. We need to worship every 7 days. We need to come to the table of our Lord every 7 days. We need to hear these covenant promises every 7 days. It is good for us. Because like Isaac, we are sons of Abraham too. And these things happened to our fathers in the faith as examples. They were written for our admonition, that we would be faithful, that we would be wise, that we would not fall into temptation and sin. That God in his mercy would preserve us, and we would persevere through trial. That we would be sons of Issachar, and we'd navigate our days faithfully and wisely, like our fathers in the faith did. Brothers and sisters, that's why knowing history, learning history, is valuable. Why it benefits us. So in this account, Isaac moved on, he tried again, and the Lord strengthened his faith by repeating his promises. Isaac built an altar. He worshiped, he called upon the name of Yahweh, and then he dug another well. What can we learn from that? This is worship unto dominion. Worship leads to dominion. Worship and building the kingdom for the long term. Because if you're Isaac, and Abraham's wells just got filled in by the Philistines, it takes a lot of faith to dig another one. It takes a lot of trust in God to say, that one they just filled, I'll dig it out again. We'll do this again. The persecutors burned another church. We're going to build another one. And we're going to try to live peaceably. Isaac tried to live peaceably. Moved around, avoided confrontation. Now, if this would happen in Joshua's day, if this had happened when Gideon was a judge, how would they have responded? They would have killed the enemy. But in Abraham's and Isaac's day, when they're surrounded by the enemy, they aim for peace with their neighbors. Dominion had not been given to them yet. Different points in history wisely recognize the difference. When is it wise to move? And in history, when is it wise for God's people to fight? Cowards always want to flee, and immature always want to fight. Wise and faithful discern the times. When is it appropriate? So after Isaac builds this altar, he worships God, he digs a well, Abimelech comes to see Isaac. And Abimelech brings two with him, Ahazat, his friend or counselor, his right-hand man, and Phicol, the commander of the army. The Lord they saw with their own eyes had prospered Isaac, and they actually say, Yahweh has prospered you, these Philistines, calling him by his name. The Lord prospered Isaac, and the three most powerful men in Gerar came to see Isaac. Here are three aligning with one. Three powerful figures coming to make a covenant with one. And this is the biblical model of one strong, dominant leader, God's covenant seed, he's blessing Isaac, and three supporters, three counselors to come around him in covenant. This is why Job had three close counselors, three close friends. This is why Daniel had his three friends. As you sit around table this afternoon, what are the other examples in Scripture where you have one dominant figure and three close friends, three close counselors? So these three Philistines come to Isaac. They are future-minded too. You're in the land, you're doing quite well. We want to get along with you for a while, Isaac. So this is the wicked coming in respect. They want to form an alliance. Verses 28 and 29. We have certainly seen that Yahweh is with you, so we said, let there now be an oath between us, between you and us. Let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm. Since we have not touched you, and since we've done nothing to you but good, and have sent you away in peace, you are now the blessed of Yahweh. Living peaceably, Christians, and exercising dominion faithfully leads to peace with the enemy. Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. The wicked could see the Lord bless Isaac. And they wanted some of that. They envied it. Then they chased him away. And Isaac persevered in faithfulness. He was tested. He didn't give up. He didn't respond to power of the flesh and lash out at them. He submitted to the Lord. And the Lord graciously brought the Philistines into submission. And he continues to move history forward. Once enmity between Isaac and the Philistines has now moved to peace and cooperation. God's people win peace with those around them. And Isaac concludes this account with a seventh well. This well was called Be'er Sheba. Sheba meaning seven. Sheba meaning rest. This was a well of rest. Enemies are at peace, and they have fellowship over a meal. And from this covenantal meal, Isaac can then go forward in space and in time and continue to enjoy prosperity and dominion. Brothers and sisters, Christians, we will follow in the steps of our fathers of the faith. Now, the days in which we live, they may be like the days of Abraham and Isaac, where we are surrounded by the wicked. We may be headed for the days of Moses with persecution, or the days of the judges where the faithfulness truly wanes and the Lord gives us over to slavery with heavy persecution. Or we may be headed for a time of reformation as God brings history forward. To discern the times, Christians, we must know all of God's word. We must live in it. Read it continually. Learn wisdom from it. Learn, how does the Lord reveal Jesus in these stories? Genesis 26. Well, Jesus, too, used wisdom in warfare against the serpent, against his enemies. Jesus moved around. He planted seeds for the long term, for his apostles to come later and to water, and for the Lord to bring growth. And the Lord Jesus has promised that he will bring the wicked into submission under his feet. Maybe not in our lifetime, but in history, the nations will submit to the Lord Jesus and they will obey all that he has commanded. So united to Jesus Christ, Christians, church, we can build altars. We can plant churches, we can dig wells, we can call upon the name of the Lord, and worship leads to dominion. And we can trust God's timing. As we live peaceful lives, even our enemies, as we live faithful lives, even our enemies will be at peace with us. And in his gracious timing, when he stirs up the wicked, the leaders, all nations, to come to the church in submission, as he did in Isaac's day with Abimelech, we can patiently endure and feed them when they come. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. O God, by the passion of your blessed Son, did make an instrument of shameful death to be unto us the means of life. Grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ, that we may gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.